Welcome to Gifted and Endowed. From Yale, Shimoni, bringing to you together with Hadran and Yeshivat Risha, learning Yun in your Bekiyut of Daf Yomi. And we took a break from Masechet Baba Kama and returning now in Baba Metzia very happily. And Bezrat Hashem, we're going to learn two sugiyot today, also one from Baba Metzia, but we'll also learn a sugiyot from Baba Kama. So maybe we'll repay our debt a little to you from Baba Kama. So our sugya is in Daf Chaf Aleph, which deals with the question of Yeush Shelo Midat, a big machloket between Abaye and Rava. But in the beginning of the sugya, there is an interesting question, a question that really, really relates to what happens when I pick up any aveda and try to have somebody get it back. It might cause all kinds of problems, and the beginning of the sugya really dwells on that issue. So let's begin in Daf Chaf Aleph and read what the sugya says and see how the sugya is actually creating two very big difficulties in understanding it. So the Gemara starts by saying, Itmar, Yeush lo midat, Abaye amar, lo have Yeush, v'Rav amar, have Yeush, that is the big machloket you will see in the sugya. But the sugya begins by saying, what are the areas where Abai v'Rava were not chokin on one another? So the sugya says, "Bedavar sheyesh bo siman, kule alma lo plige de lo have yeush." Okay, so now we learn that Abai and Rava had their dispute on a situation if somebody lost something that doesn't have any markings on it. Let's say I lost 100 shekels or $100, and I didn't realize that I lost them. Is that a problem? According to Abaye, it is a problem. According to Rava, there is no problem. But what happens if I lost my coat? Okay, and you found my coat in the street. So here the sugya says there is no dispute between Abaye and Rava. If we're discussing a coat, and the coat has markings, has a siman, everybody agrees that there is no yeush, means there is no point that I will just let go of my coat. How can that be? The sugi asks, the sugi says, it is true. I know that if you lose your coat, let's say in 5 years, you will be mityash from it. You won't believe you'll get the coat back. You know, maybe the first week, the first month, maybe even the first year, you'll continue looking for your coat, but you will end up letting go. Still, says the sugya, it doesn't matter. Even if 5 years later, I decided that I don't want my coat anymore because I don't believe it will ever return to me, the sugya says, afal gav deshamina demiyash lesof, lo have yeush. Sugya says it doesn't matter, even if I gave up on the coat. Why doesn't it matter? Dechi'ata leyadei be'isura hude'ata leyadei. Because the first instant when I lost my coat, you picked it up and it did have markings, then that changes the whole situation. Never, ever, ever will I be able to give up my coat. And even if I will give up, it will make no difference. Why? Be'isura hude'ata leyadei. It reached your hand in a prohibited way. How could that be? Continues the sugya and says, why is it a prohibited way? Because when I come home and I see I don't have my coat, I won't give it up. I'll say to myself, I have markings on it. If I'll just find the person who found my coat, I'll describe the coat and I'll get it back. And that is why this coat forever will never be able to become the motzeis, the person's coat, because I'm always, always looking to have it returned to me. Even if 5 years later I decided I don't want it anymore because I'll never see it again, still it makes no difference because the first instant it came to your hands in isu, in a prohibited way. So while I was reading the sugya, I read it as if I understood it, but in truth, there are very serious problems in the sugya. Two big problems, actually. One, why does the sugya describe the instance that you picked up my coat in order to return it to me as a prohibited way? What's prohibited in this situation? There is nothing wrong. I lost my coat. You're picking it up. You want to save it for me because you're hoping I'll return to retrieve it.
Why does the Gemara call this Be'isura Ateliyadei? Why is this a prohibited way of holding an object? That's one question, which is just a question in reading the Sugya. Why did the Sugya use this strange term, which doesn't seem to fit the situation? Another question in the Sugya is if indeed the Sugya claims that anything that has a marking, even if you picked it up, in wanting to return it to me, it will make no difference, even if in 100 years, I'll never return for it. You'll still have to keep it for me forever and ever because it will forever and ever still be my object and I will never let it go. That causes a lot of problems. If you're a tzaddik and you pick up avedot and you do what the Torah says and you pick up all kinds of objects with markings and you keep them at home and you're waiting for somebody to return to them, you're doing hachrazah, doing everything that you need to do. But bottom line, 5 years later, nobody comes. You're going to have a whole room filled with avedot. That according to what seems to be written in the Sugya, you won't be able to do anything with these avedot. You'll just have to continue waiting for somebody to return to retrieve them, even though actually that person will never come. Why? Because they've given up. The Sugya said that they've given up, and still the fact that they've gave up makes no difference. That's a hard halacha. That's really hard to accept, and we don't understand why is this halacha here. We would prefer something else would be written here. And even if this is halacha, why is that the halacha? I mean, if you would ask me, it would make sense that 5 years later, I can use the object for myself. You never return. You already gave it up. Why do I have to keep waiting for you when we all know you will never return? So these are three questions in the Sugya. One, in reading the Sugya, why is this a prohibited way? And two questions in Svara, why is this the din? Why not have a different din? And if this is the din, what really, what am I supposed to do with this room full of avedot because I keep collecting them to my house? So these are things that will bother us. The first two questions, we'll try to deal with them in this year. And the last question, Bezrat Hashem, we'll keep for next year because we have to wait for you to learn Daf Kavtet. So let's first start with seeing how this question, the first question that we asked, why is the Gemara using the term Be'isura Ateliyadei to describe somebody who picked up an Aveda? It's a very strong question, and it becomes even stronger if we look at a Sugya in Bava Kamma. The Sugya in Bava Kamma, Daf Samechvav, uses the same term, Be'isura or Be'isura Ateliyadei, describing a totally different situation. Here, the Sugya is discussing other issues. It's discussing Kinyanei Gezeila. Let's just go over a bit of the dinim of Kinyanei Gezeila. You've learned them in Baba Kama. The Gemara in Baba Kama says that if I robbed someone, robbing is not like stealing. Robbing is actually taking from somebody by force, and he knows exactly that it's you. If you're a robber, then there is a special din that if you change the object, let's say I robbed a piece of wood from you, and then I burned it in my oven, I am still chayav to pay you money. According to the Torah, when you read the Torah, it seems as if you're only chayav to return the object. But here, Rabbah will say that that even if you did destroy the object or change the object, you're still obliged to pay how much this object was worth at the moment of the robbery. So this is what Rabbah starts saying. Amar Rabbah. Shinui kone ktiva utneina. Shinui kone is what I described. If I changed the object, if I destroyed the object, I can't return it as it is. I can't say to the person, Harei shelcha lefanecha. I can't say, here, this is the object. This wood is now just pieces of black charcoal now. You can't do that. If you burnt the wood, you keep the wood and you pay what it's worth. That's the din, shinui kone. Amar Rabba, shinui kone, ktiva utneina. This is written in the Torah and it's written in also in the Mishnah. What exactly are Rabba's proofs? We will just go over this because it's not our main focus right now. He has two proofs, one from the Torah, one from the Mishnahs. Continues Rabba and says, everybody agrees that shinui is kone. There is a dispute whether or not Yeush is kone. Says Rabbi Yeush Amri Rabbanan Denikne. Rabbi says that everybody agrees that Yeush is kone. At the end of the Sugya, Rav Yosef disagrees with that. But according to Rabbi, he says, I think that Yeush is kone. What does that mean? If I robbed you and I'm a gangster and you know that you'll never see what I robbed again, so you gave it up. In that sense, I have acquired it, in the meaning that if I use it, I will still have to return money to you. That's the kinyan of gzeila. A gazlan is always chayav to pay the money, but he doesn't always have to return the actual object that he robbed. If he changed the object, he doesn't have to do that. That's what Rabba said. And also, there's another din that even if you gave up on the object, also I don't have to return it. So Rabba says, why does this din exist? We're not sure if this halacha, that Yeush, you're giving up on the object, kone, is allowing me to use the object as if it's mine, only having to return money to you. We don't know if this din is din d'oraita or din d'rabbanan. At the end, Rabbi explains that din d'rabbanan, why would this be din d'rabbanan? Because of takanat ha-shavim. What's takanat ha-shavim? Let's say I took a piece of wood and I built my house around it. According to the Torah, I have to destroy my house and return the original piece of wood that I took from you, that I robbed from you. But Chachamim came and said, that's not a good idea because then Yael will never return this piece of wood. That is why we'll only be mechayev her in paying for the wood and not giving the actual piece of wood back. That's understanding that giving up on something is kone because of takanat derabanan, takanat hashavim. But why would it be din deoraita? Says Rabbah, midei dehave amotzei avedah. Maybe the din of a robber, we learned it from the din of somebody who picked up an aveda. Motzei avedah lav kivan demiay shmara minei mikame letitei liyadei kanelei. Hainami kivan demiay shmarai kanelei. Alma kanelei. How could this be din d'oraita? Maybe, says Rabbah, because a robber is similar to somebody who found an object in the street. If you found an object in the street and the person who lost it already decided that he'll never see it again, when you pick that object up, it becomes yours. You don't have to return it at all. Maybe, says Rabbah, the same is true for a robber. Since he's taking it from you and you're letting it go because you believe you'll never see it again, maybe that means the robber actually acquired this object, exactly like somebody who picked up an Aveda acquired the object if the person already gave it up. Maybe that's how we learn Kinyan Yeush and Gezeila, or maybe we won't learn that. Why? Alma Odilma lo dam yala Aveda. Aveda hu dechiyat yaleyadei behetera at yaleyadei, aval hai kevan de beisura at yaleyadei, mi derabanan hu. Says Rabbah in the Sugya, it is true that Aveda and Gzela seem similar. Both of them are situations that somebody lost an object and has given up on the object. One is actually he lost the object, and the other he's been robbed of the object. That is true. In that sense, they're similar. In these two situations, the person who was the original owner gave up on the object. But on the other hand, there's a huge difference between them. Gzela is be'isura teleyadei. How did you come about to hold this object? You're doing an isur. You're gazlaning. You're taking it. You're robbing it. That's why you are holding this object. In Aveda, you were a tzaddik. So you can't learn from Isura Ateleyadeh, which is Gzeila, to Hetera Ateleyadeh, which is Aveda. According to the Sugya, it seems very, very clear that the term Isura Ateleyadeh cannot describe an Aveda. It can only describe a Gzeila. And that is why we're back in our question. If this is how the Gemara and Baba Kama use this term, Isura Ateleyadeh, to describe a Gazlan, how come it uses the exact same term to describe somebody who picked up an Aveda? Very, very hard to understand. So let's begin by learning the Tosfot in order to understand this question. And the Tosfot here is Dafka, the Tosfot of Baba Kama Samech Vav. And he says something very interesting, something actually that solves a lot of our problems. Says the Tosfot, Af al pi de'en ye'ush mu'il be'aveda, batar de'ata le'yadei kede ke'amar, lav kevan de'biyai shmara mine mikame de'ata le'yadei kan elei. וכדאמר באלו מציאות בהדיא. מכל מקום, באי למילף שפיר, דייאוש קנאי בגזל בתר דעתה לידי, דמציאה, נמי, נהי דלא היה קונה לעניין זה שלא יצטרך להשיב ולהיפטר לגמרי, הואיל וכבר נתחייב בהשבה, מכל מקום היה קונה לעניין זה שלא יתחייב לשלם כי אם דמים, כמו לגבי גזל. Says the Tosfot, I think, says the Tosfot, that in a metzia, like what is described in Daf Kaf Aleph, what's written in Daf Kaf Aleph, that you picked up an object in order to return it, and then 5 years later, it's quite certain that the original owner let it go. The sugya says that you can't be the owner. But what's written there, says Tosfot, is not what we understood originally. What's written in the sugya that you don't become the owner in the sense that you're not the owner for the object and that you don't have to pay for it. What it means that you do become the owner in the sense that you can use this object for your own needs. Let's say you lost a coat and I found it. I'm keeping it in my house for 5 years. After 5 years, it's pretty sure you gave it up. Then, according to the Tosfot, I'm allowed to use the coat for my own needs. But if you do happen to knock on my door a few years later, I will have to pay the amount of the cost of the coat that I found. Therefore, after 5 years, I look at my closet and I see, oh, I've been keeping this purple coat for a while. Nobody's returning to use it. Let's see, how much does it cost? I could sell it for 50 shekels in a secondhand store. So I write down on my computer, the coat that I found on Adar Aleph in Tafshin Pei Daled costs 50 shekel. Now I'm using it. If somebody will return, I will return the money to them. That's what happens. That's what's written in the Sugya and Daf Kaf Aleph. The Sugya and Daf Kaf Aleph, said the Tosfot, never meant to say that you can't use the object, that you have to keep it forever and ever, even if the person has already given it up. No, that's not what we're talking about. You can use it, but you have to keep track of how much it costs because you will always have to pay back the cost. That's what it means that you shlokane in that sugya. And now we can understand why did the sugya think of learning from gezela to aveda? Because actually kinyan gezela looks very much like this kinyan of aveda. Also in gezela we say that the gazlan keeps the objects but has to pay the money. It's very, very similar. And that's the connection between Bi'isura Ateh Li'Yadei here in the sugya and Bi'isura Ateh Li'Yadei in our sugya. We're actually talking about similar dinim. The din of Aveda in Daf Kaf Aleph is very, very, very similar to the din of Gezela in Baba Kama Samech Vav. So that's the Tosfot here. And what the Tosfot does is that really helps us in the practical sense, because Tosfot says, you don't have to wait forever and ever and keep a whole room full of avedot. At a certain point, when you're sure that somebody has already given it up, let's say 5 years later, you can use a quote for yourself and just keep track of how much it costs. So that's great. But there is still a question, why did the Gemara use this miserable term of Bisur Ateh Li'Yadei? Bisur Ateh Li'Yadei really describes a gazlan. Why did the Gemara in our sugya use that term to describe an aveda? So maybe that also means that it didn't really mean to describe the situation of an aveda. It only meant to describe what kind of a payment you have to pay. But it's still unclear and it's a dohak. But anyway, that's really what the Tosfot offers us in this sugya. The Ramban does not agree with the Tosfot. And he thinks that what the Tosfot said, that if I pick up the coat before you were miyayesh, never, ever, ever will I be able to use it again. And a gazlan, on the other hand, he definitely can use the object, but only has to pay money. And why does the Ramban disagree with Tosfot? So in order to understand the reason, the shurish of their machloket, you really have to learn also the Gemara and Daf Chaf Vav. And since we're not there yet, I'm going to leave it outside. And if somebody wants to discuss the Gemara and Daf Chaf Vav, you can also listen to the Gifted in Hebrew, which became a shiur of an hour. And you can see how the sugya and Daf Chaf Vav really is the turning point and the reason why the Ramban goes against the Tosfot. But let's see how the Ramban reads the Sugya, because Ramban needs to explain to us two things. One, why does the Sugya keep calling a person who picks up an Aveda in order to return it to its owner, Bi'isura Teleyadei? And two, why? Why will that be the deen? Why, if a person picks up an Aveda, he will never be able to become the owner and will never be able to use it for himself? And for that, the Ramban has a very interesting answer. The Ramban says, כיוון שנתחייב בהשבה וחל עליה מצוות השבת השיבם, לא פקע מיני לעולם בייאוש. שאם לא כן, כל אבדה מותרת אם לא באו בעלים ביד, שהרי נתייאשו. ודין הוא, מפני שנעשית ידו כיד הבעלים, ושומר של בעלים הוא, היא לכך לא קן אלי לעולם בייאוש שאחר כך. Says the Ramban, When I pick up your coat in the street, you have to understand what happens here halachically. I am not acting as an owner. I'm not acting as Yael. I'm acting as a shaliach of you. I'm doing you a favor. I'm doing here a deed for you. So my hand ceases to be my hand and becomes your hand. And that is why I will never be able to acquire this object. So here the Ramban doesn't clear why would that be a problem in acquiring the object if my hand is your hand. But if we'll look at the Ramban in Milchamot, he adds a few words that helps us understand his main point. The Ramban in the Milchamot of Yudalid on the Reef says, "Hecha shenatla b'torat aveda ve'lo al menat legozla kodem yeush, I efshar liknota b'yeush, mifnei shiyado kiyad ha'bealim, b'shomer sachar shelahem. Hi lechach le'olam ina nikne le'yeush, ho'il v'yeshna b'reshut ha'bailim." Says the Ramban, When I act on your behalf and I pick up the Aveda, I became your Shomer Sachar for the Aveda. I am really responsible for this Aveda. And that is as if the Aveda is actually lost in your own private home. Let's understand this statement of the Ramban. I don't know if that ever happened to you. Did you ever lose something in your own house? To me, it happened, not once, twice. And if I lose something in my own house and you will come in and find it, obviously that thing is not Hefker. It is in my house. I just don't know where it is. Even if I gave up on it, the house itself keeps holding it for me because it's in my house. Says the Ramban, that's exactly what happens if you become a Shomer Aveda for someone. It's as if you are keeping it in his house. You become part of his reshut. You're his hand. It is true that he doesn't know where it is, but the fact is that you're holding it on his behalf. Therefore, says the Ramban, even if he gave up on the object, you are his hand. It's as if I'm holding this watch in my hand. I gave up on it, but I'm still holding it at the same time. So therefore, it will never belong to anybody else because I'm still holding it. The person who's holding the Aveda, because he picked it up originally as a shaliach, as a shomer sachal, will never be able to use his own hand to take this because his hand will always be the hand of the bailei. But, continues the Rabban, if I pick up the Aveda in order to be robbing it, to be gozel it, then it's my own private hand, and that's why I can acquire an object if I'm a gazlan. If I'm a gazlan, I can definitely acquire an object after a yeush. But if I'm a shomer Aveda, I will never be able to acquire the object. And that is why the din in the sugya is true. Halachically, you have no ability to become the owner of something that you picked up in order to return it to somebody else. And that is the big chidush of the Ramban. But this chidush of the Ramban still leaves us with two problems. One is, why did the sugya describe the person who's picking up the object as if he is doing an avera? Why is it calling him b'isurat eliyadei? And secondly, the Ramban definitely creates a problem in my house because now I have a whole room of Avedot that will never, ever, ever be able to become their owner. And that really calls for a big problem, halachic and practical problem that this idea, which is very intriguing, of the Ramban creates. So let's just sum up the two different ways of Tosfot and Ramban. But before we'll do that, we'll try to answer question that we started with, how to read the sugya. Why is the sugya using this term, b'isura ateleyadei? We saw that both Tosfot and both the Ramban didn't have a clear answer for that. The one who's going to help us here is the Ritva. The Ritva goes according to the Shita de Ramban and dwells on this point. And the Ritva many times returns to the points of how to read the sugya. So says the Ritva, I agree with the Ramban. Here, when you pick up the sugya, you become the hand of the Baalim. What will we do with this term that you took it in a prohibited way? No, it's not serious. So yeah, I didn't really mean to say that you're doing an isu. Love be isu ramamish ki amar. Shari lo nitkaven nigzol. V'chayav o nitla. Sheyesh basiman. You're not a gazlet, but you're doing a mitzvah. So you can't say that you're doing an isu. So what does the sugya mean? Says the ritva. Ela bishat isura ka'amrinan. It is not that you're doing an isur, but this object is holding sh'at isur. What does that mean? Kelomar. Nichi'at el yadei, bereshut ba'alim kaima, uchenotel miyadam dami. Since this object is actually still being owned by somebody else, when you are picking it up, it is as if you are taking it from the hands of the Baalim, which is not allowed. This statement is only a way of the sugya to state again that the Baalim is still holding on to this object, and therefore anybody who will try to take it from him in force will become a gazlin. Of course, we're not talking about you. You're picking it up for him. But if somebody else will think that this is something that you can take up for yourself, he doesn't understand that this is really an object which truly belongs 100% to somebody else, and you're not allowed to take it for your own. So that's what it means, be surat de lo mamash. It's not really an isur, it's bishat isur. And that's what the Ritva offers for the explanation of the sugyan. It seems as if this explanation can also work for the Tosfot and not only for the Ramban. So now we're good to go for summarizing Tosfot and Rambam, one next to the other. What is the meaning of Bi'isura Atel Yadei? We will use the Ritva. Nobody meant that you're doing an issue. You're not doing an issue. You're doing a mitzvah. So why are we saying it? Only to state that this is really something that belongs 100% to somebody, even though he's not holding on to it. Because you're holding on to it for him, it is as if he's holding on to it, which is what the Ramban's saying. And according to the Tosfot, again, we're understanding that this is somebody that something that really belongs to someone. That's why it's an isur to take it from him, even though you're not the one who's doing it. The big difference between Tosfot and the Ramban is in the halacha. What is written in the sugya? According to Tosfot, what's written in the sugya, that after a person is miyayish, you can use the object, but you will always have to pay money. And it's similar to the din to the din of gzeila, but here it's a din d'oraita. This is din d'oraita of Abeda, and gzeila maybe learned it from him. That's what the Sugya Daf Samech Vav, Baba Kama said. According to Ramban, there is no connection. Aveda, you will never be able to acquire an object if you picked it up in order to return it. Why? Because your hand is not yours. You are an extension, a physical extension of the original Baalim who lost it. And therefore, even when he gives it up, he's still actually holding on to it. And that's a big machloket between Tosfot and Ramban. So, what has been passing to halacha? Of course, we seems as we prefer the Tosfot, but the Ramban actually made a lot of sense. What will we do with this? So for that, you'll have to join us for next time. We're going to learn the sugya and the haftet, and see who are we going with, Tosfot and Ramban, and if we're going according to Ramban, how can we solve our practical problems? So that, Be'ezrat Hashem, will be what we will learn next week. So we're back again in Gefet, and we're very happy that you're joining us here for learning Nezikin. Nezikin is a different story. It's hard, it's complex, and of course, our union will try to touch upon these complexes and all kinds of problems. And we're very happy to return and learn with you. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll meet you next week, and I hope you continue enjoying your learning of Seder Nezikin. Take care.